In a world where people try to do stuff they don't know how to do. One man, okay, two men, are standing by with the best advice on earth.
Ow.
Well, most of the time. Welcome to the all-around home improvement hour. Now here's Charles Thayer and the man they call the Polish Powerhouse.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is, once again, the all-around home improvement hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Every Saturday from noon to 1, we're talking all things home improvement related for the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul areas and surrounding. Let's do it. Yep. We get it done and we do it right. Yeah. All right, let's get it. My name's Charles Thayer, and some actually call me the Home Improvement Slayer. There it is. Here it is. I just picture, like, dogs running around the racetrack. Robins head knocking. Just doing the...
Okay. Yeah. What am I doing?
Head banging. Mosh pit. We should start a mosh pit. Mosh just start pit. Destroying stuff. Awesome. Sounds what are like you doing?
Terrible.
Here, I'll show you. Let's introduce the co-host of the show, the Polish Powerhouse.
Oh, nice. So I have my headphones on and I'm listening to better music than you are.
Where's the head banging?
It's right there. Still in the mosh pit.
This is more like a tapping. It's not really head banging.
Oh, man.
All right. You don't like it?
Right about now, I'm done with it. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. That was awesome.
Yes, thank you. Next time, play it longer.
Yep. Every Saturday from noon to 1, we like to talk all things home improvement related. This is the all-around home improvement hour. We're hanging out in the studio today. Lucky enough to be with the super hot Robin Johnson with High Road Heating and Cooling. Robin, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yes, glad to have you.
A lot of excitement in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also Ruben. Ruben Saltzman with Structure Tech Home Inspections. Gotta love having him on. He knows so much about things that I don't, and so that's the main reason he's here. But no, we have a passion for home improvements. We don't do this for a living. We do exteriors. We are all around, and so we own a company that does roofing, siding, windows, decks, and doors out of the western Twin Cities suburb of Long Lake, Orno area. But we service the entire Twin Cities metro area and even parts of the very western extreme Wisconsin.
Okay, I was like extreme western. Western of western Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, we will venture in just a little bit.
You know what? We did a project earlier this spring in Prescott, actually.
Okay.
So
where's that?
It's down across the river from, like, I think Hastings, Red Wing area.
Mm, okay.
Somewhere in between, roughly.
Yeah, we've got one of the inspectors on our team lives in Prescott.
All right. Yeah.
Great town, I hear.
That's what he tells me.
it's a pretty nice city.
No, I love Wisconsin. Actually, I'd love to be around less people, and so I envy that of Wisconsin. More animals than people, and sure. I think animals are great. I think they're much better than people.
So they're a lot nicer, aren't they?
Let's bring this up, because we should. It's Mother's Day tomorrow, so does everybody know what they're going to be getting their mom or their wife that is a mother of their children and things like that? Are you all prepared?
I bought it a month ago, so it is hidden in the garage and ready to go.
All right.
Yes.
I actually gave her present also about a month ago. But I told her, this is for Mother's Day, so enjoy it. Be happy now. Don't be unhappy then. It's a Dyson hair curler thing. Have you seen that one, Robin?
Yeah, does it work? We could talk offline.
It's the Dyson Air Max.
Oh, I know fun. I would.
Low, super awesome, something cool. I don't know.
Okay.
Jasmine, you know about it?
It works
What does it do? It blows air in your head or what?
No, it's like a curling iron, but it like sucks your hair in. I'd be scared of it
does
if
it
I had
cut
long
it
hair.
Too? Like a
no.
Flobee?
No.
Oh, yes.
Oh, boy, you just aged yourself,
Ruben. Awesome. Yeah.
You don't know what a Flobee is.
I know what those are.
It might cut it if you have the temp on too high and do something weird, but yeah, I would just be scared to get long hair anywhere near that thing because it sucks it in, curls it, heats it up. All kinds of stuff, but I don't know.
Way to be on top of it. I did not buy a gift a month ago. I, like most people, wait until the Friday before.
When the best stuff is still on the rack.
It's really good.
Yeah.
There's so many things to choose from. You know what? I always find a nice handwritten note is received very well.
Yeah, it's great.
If it's heartfelt.
Very, very thoughtful. I agree, Robin.
If there's something flowery with that note, that's
course.
A nice thing,
yes,
too.
Of course. Maybe something sweet, too. Yeah.
No, mothers and women love chocolates, too.
Oh, yeah, they do. I can't say because my mom's listening.
Oh, okay. All right.
Point. That's right. Well, that's why I didn't say either.
Yeah.
That's right. There you go. That's a good cover there. All right. Well, but
can you edit that part out? Seriously?
So in advance, in case we forget to say again, happy Mother's Day tomorrow
Mother's Day.
To all of the mothers out there. We appreciate you and what you do. We couldn't be here if it wasn't for you.
This is true.
Amen, Charles.
Mind-blowing, isn't it, Ruben?
Absolutely. Yes.
Wow. We couldn't be here doing this if it wasn't for you, Mother.
You heard it here first on the All-Around Home Improvement Hour.
All right, so let's do this. Let's talk home improvement stuff. May, we've dubbed the month of more ways to enjoy your outdoor living space and curb appeal. And so I just want to mention that a great way to make your home look really cool and good from the outside is to put new landscaping rock in.
Mm. Yeah. Could just change the rock color up. I suppose that could do a lot.
Or change from mulch to rock.
Okay, yeah.
Or expand or redesign the shape of your rock beds. New shrubs and bushes. You know, I'm being very giving here. It's not a service that we offer, so please find someone else for this type of stuff. We may know a few good people, but we happen to be doing it at our home. We started with the rose quartz or some sort of pink rock.
It's like a reddish kind of color to it, right?
Yeah, and boy, what a mistake. And here I was thinking that river rock was cheap and less expensive. It's more expensive. But we've become just so into the look of river rock. We have a thing for finding agates, the wife and I. And so we're going to be removing, we have lava rock and some of this rose quartz. We're doing it in sections. We did get some quotes. And just to be honest with you, we couldn't justify spending what it costs to actually have this done by professionals. So we're going to DIY it. And whoa, just
that's good
it.
Labor.
Yeah.
Shoveling rock. Oh, man.
A few weekends of our life we'll never get back. But you know what? It's something that brings people together. And that's the other thing is coming together.
Yep.
Enjoying
good exercise. Get outside.
Yeah. So that's what I have. Thoughts on that?
I like river rock. There's a variety. It's not one solid color. So I say go for it.
Robin, what are your thoughts on landscaping, improving the outside?
Been there, done that. Planted 4 years ago 220 hosta in my backyard.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Ooh,
it's a hosta party.
It was. Yeah, it was very fun. We get lots of compliments from all the people that walk by.
You know what? One of the first things we do when we're inspecting for hail damages?
Look at hostas.
Oh, sure.
We look at the hostas.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
See if there's holes in the
leaves. Those are completely clean, somebody's fishing for damage.
Right. Sure.
So,
yeah.
Ruben, I know
you're. I like that, Charles.
Ruben got a new thing to look at
from you. That's fantastic.
Every once in a while, you'll walk out of here with something from me.
Ruben's like, that's the first time ever, but yeah.
No, this is a wonderful.
We're going to put one up on the board for me because we love to do that. Ruben, kind of your thoughts right away on how to do things not the right way with landscaping and rock, because I know you're chomping at the bit to tell people.
Oh, well, you know, for me, the biggest thing is water management. Make sure when you're all done, the water drains away from your house. That's the most obvious one. If you've got gutters, you're going to have downspout extensions. Make sure that those are going away from your house. And here's my huge tip. If you're going to be doing landscaping, think about where your water is going to go. Mm-hmm. If you've got downspouts, do you want this big downspout extension going over all of this gorgeous new stuff? If you're going to tear it all out, take a little bit of extra time and maybe bury a little drain in your yard. Yeah. So your downspout can go into an underground drain and then drain away from your house. I'm using lots of hand gestures here. I think this helps for the radio.
Oh, wait, I noticed you said away from the house in an uphill manner. So you want the water to go...
Well, it was just so you could see my hand.
Okay, all right. I want to make sure...
Send the water afar.
It can't go uphill.
No. It's got to go downhill.
Okay.
And then it's going to terminate somewhere at daylight. We call that daylight your drain. It's going to be somewhere where the sun shines. And the water drains out into a lower portion of your yard.
Do they call that turtle heading?
No.
Okay.
No, Charles.
I call them pop-ups.
Ever said that before.
The pop-up. It turtles. It daylights. No. Okay, never mind. No. All right, sorry.
You must be thinking of something else.
Moving on. I thought they called them turtles. They're green.
They are green.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Sorry.
It's cool. True. I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, if it's already all ripped up at that point.
Well, I'm going to add
this. Just do it.
I'm going to add this, though. Do not run the downspout all the way into the catch basin.
Ooh.
Leave some space so that you can remove the cover of the catch basin and clean it out. Some people actually have them going all the way down. It makes them really, really tough to clean out. And sometimes you may have to run a hose in these catch basins and clean out that stuff because they will get debris in there.
Yes, absolutely.
Leave a 2-3-4-inch space.
And I'll give you another reason to do that, too. I remember inspecting a house where they had it connected directly into the underground drain, and in the wintertime, everything that had gone in there froze. It's packed full of ice all the way out, and they've got the downspout connected directly in there. So there's ice building all the way up this downspout. The downspout has split open at the back because the ice expanded.
Wow.
And there's water leaking in over one of the windows.
Not going to lie, that sounds kind of cool.
It's bad news. And then they ended up with a ton of water in their basement because they had connected their downspouts directly into the underground system. So, I mean, you're spot on, Charles.
Bad news, but... You know, at the same time, it's kind of cool to see the ice formation like that. You know, reminds me of ice climbing and
tell that to the person with water
spelunking,
in the basement.
Right?
Spelunking with stalactite and stalagmite.
Yes.
Those were vocabulary words in my fifth grade.
Also known as icicles.
Solid
columns too. Okay, all right. We're up against a break. More fun stuff and vocabulary words right here on the All Around Home Improvement Hour. We'll be back. All right, welcome back on a very psychedelic Saturday.
Yes, sir.
It's the all-around home improvement hour.
Hour.
And we're talking all things exterior enjoyment. All right, enough of that stuff. We're hanging out in the studio here with Ruben Saltzman, Structure Tech Home Inspections, and Robin Johnson with High Road Heating and Cooling. Just want to, before we leave the topic of landscaping rock beds and the surrounding area around your home, I want to mention the pesty air conditioner that leans towards the home.
Oh my gosh.
So if you read, I know, it drives you nuts. I bet every time you see one, you just want to
get out of my car and balance it.
Yes.
I do.
And go and
she just carries shims around with her.
Knock on the door.
So two things, because we don't want to take the whole show to talk about them. What causes it and what damage does it do? Is there a repair? Or do you need to replace the air conditioner? That's four things.
You don't necessarily need to replace the air conditioner. It depends on if there's damage when it's been tilted. It's usually frost heaving in the ground. The ground gets soft, or it's been pushed up for tree roots. We've had it for tree roots, a number of things. It works inefficiently, so you're only probably getting half your cooling out of the unit that way. So we want to see if we can re-level it. If we can't re-level it, or if there's damage, then it has to be replaced. And we have to replace the whole air conditioner at that point. Okay. That's the line set, the evaporator coil, and the outdoor unit.
Okay.
Is that the reason you see a lot of new construction where they're putting like the, I would call like just the brackets basically, and they're mounting it to the foundation wall?
Usually that's because the it's not level ground. That's okay. The only reason why we put brackets on.
Yeah, you I see don't a lot want them like that.
Right. No. In new construction, it's a good way to do that because if I do it now on your existing home and we put those brackets on, you will hear the vibration of the air conditioner when it comes on. You don't want to do that when we're replacing the unit. You want to do it when the house is newly built because they put the brackets on differently. Sure. We have to mount them on the outside of the house.
Yeah, mine is like that. So I don't know if
But usually the brackets are done to get them up in the air. Because the ground's usually not level.
And it's supposed to be level, not tilted away from the house.
Not tilted.
Anything like that.
Right.
And are most units freestanding? They're actually just sitting on a platform, or are they mounted to the ground somehow?
They're sitting on a platform, either a concrete pad, or we put in a poly pad that looks like a concrete pad.
Sure,
and we just set it on the ground, but the ground needs to be level.
I see it.
But usually it can be in the rock bed. It can be between the rock bed and the grass. You know, we have to level it.
Okay.
We always want the unit at peak performance, and the way it performs the best is when it's level.
All right. You heard it from the super hot Robin Johnson with High Road Heating and Cooling. Ruben, during the break, you brought up outdoor living spaces and something about decks. I'm sorry. What was it?
May is Deck Safety Month.
Is it really?
We're super pumped about
that. I didn't see that on my Hallmark calendar day month.
I'll get you a card.
All right.
Yeah, this is proclaimed
living now
by the North American Deck and Railing Association. They
I missed that one.
Taken May.
Okay.
As May is Deck Safety Month.
It makes sense if you think about it, right? Spring, you know, everyone's getting back outside again. Maybe, and if you're in Minnesota, you haven't been on your deck much.
That's exactly it.
I don't know if your foot's going to fall through. Is your railing going to, you know, break if you lean on it?
Is that the biggest hazard? Is that where people see the biggest problem is on railings?
I'd say railings and attachment to the house are the two biggest failure points of decks.
Okay.
Yep. I'm in need of new railings. I'd love to hear your advice on what looks nice. Mm. Mine are a hot, rotted mess, Charles.
Yeah, well, we prefer the Westbury aluminum railing system. Nick can tell you more about that. That's just all I know.
we do use Westbury a lot, and they have a bunch of different profiles of railing. There's a couple different finishes. The main one we use is a fine texture finish, various different colors, you know, balusters, round, square.
Now, these balusters, what's the bottom rail on the railing? Is it a piece of wood that they die into? Or?
It's all aluminum, so there is no wood. So the structural posts are all aluminum as well. They come with little self-leveling kits built into them, so... But typically, when we're doing that, depending on what type of railing is on there, we're going to make sure we're adding blocking from the underside of the deck to make sure we're meeting manufacturer specs as far as how far the leg bolts and things are going in. But yeah, we do it all the time. People want to have good framing of the deck. They just want to what we call a reskin, take the fascia and the deck boards and the railing off and replace it with new stuff.
Yeah, sure. And we make sure that it can stand 200 pounds of side pressure because that's the code and because I studied to get my license.
Charles, nailing it.
They're strong railings. They make, you know, different post sizes. 2x2 post is the most common one we use. It's nice, sleek.
200 doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a lot of pressure.
That is a lot of pressure.
It is, but it doesn't seem like a lot because you think, well, there's a lot of people that are over 200 pounds, and what if they just start leaning? But to create that side pressure.
And, you know, a big part of that is that just about any new railing you install today, even if you take that post, and you said a 2x2 post. I think you meant a 4x4, right?
No, the 2x2 is the most common ones that we use for Westbury.
Okay.
They make a 4x4 and they make a 3x3.
Because it's aluminum.
Yep, correct.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry.
Yeah, there isn't like a sleeve or there's no wood underneath them. So the actual posts are structural posts.
That makes sense. You know, the old school way of building a deck railing would be you'd take a 4x4 wood post.
Yep.
And then you'd notch out half of it at the bottom.
Yes.
And put two
bolts in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when they're brand new, they will withstand 200 pounds probably. I mean, it's probably not going to be an issue. But you're attaching that to the outside rim on your deck, which is only nailed in place.
Right.
And you got those nails going into the end grain of the joist, which have little to no holding power. I mean, when it's brand new, sure, it's fine. But you give it 10 years of weathering and water getting in, and those nails are... definitely going to be way weaker than they used to be. And you can kind of lean on those things and they will buckle way out. So I'm encouraging you, give your own guards a little hip check.
Yeah, just for sure. Give
them, you know, grab it with your hand, shake it a little bit, see how it's doing. Because today, if you're building a new deck guardrail, your building official is not going to let you notch those 4x4s anymore. We've just found it doesn't work. It weakens way too much over time.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I never lean on a railing without checking. It doesn't matter. Especially when I'm at the mall and you're like the fifth floor up sure. and you're looking down. I picture myself laying the outline of a body laying down.
Rails.
Yeah, no, yeah. You gotta give it a little check. I don't care. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the one on the news, you know?
I remember this one home inspector. This was his line. We don't use this one, but I always got a chuckle out of it. He'd say, I'd always tell my clients, who's the heaviest friend you have and do they drink?
That's a good point, I guess.
It is a good one, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, good. Well, what about being tied to the home? Decks tied to the home. Where's the safety hazard there?
The big failure point is not having it properly fastened. You know, a way that is definitely wrong is to just have it nailed or screwed into the house. Mm-hmm. Today, you got to have big bolts holding it in place or big lag screws or special fasteners that are made just for doing this. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, for the last, I don't know, I want to say about 5 years or so, mm-hmm. there's been a requirement where you need these special fasteners that keep the deck horizontally attached. I mean, there's going to be downward pressure from people standing on the deck, but then there's also pressure that gets exerted away from the house.
Sure.
And there's these new special metal fasteners called deck tension ties, and they make sure that it's not going to pull away sideways, too.
Isn't that for tornado wind rating as well? Isn't that what they were originally designed for?
That might be part of it.
Are you thinking like a hurricane clip kind of deal or what?
I don't know. I mean, I thought it was all about tornadoes. You got to make sure the deck doesn't fly away in a tornado. You got to make sure it's taking the wall of your house with it.
I'm sure it would help with that, too.
Well, okay, we've seen definitely. It before. We replaced a deck in Delano, actually, 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago. And the people were on vacation, and they didn't normally shovel the snow off of there. And the deck had literally caved in from the ledger board where it was on the house, and that deck had just nails, no screws.
Sure.
And it couldn't handle the weight, you know, over the time. I think the deck was 12 years old or something like that. And then literally the whole thing fell down on the camper below the deck.
Oh, yikes.
So what I'm hearing is no DIY on deck. Yeah. I'm going to hire it out. There's a lot. It's a lot more complicated.
It's nice to make sure the framing and the footings and those things are done correctly. If you want to screw up the deck boards because you didn't put enough screws in them, you're probably fine, but I'm not saying you should do that.
What's really interesting is a few things about decks. Number one, they're the most common lead that we as an exterior, we don't even advertise much for that we have that we do decks, and we get hundreds of deck requests every single year. The next thing is how greatly underestimated people's assumption of what a deck costs, the labor and the material.
The number one, by far.
Yeah, I mean, people are so used to thinking that a case of beer and my two buddies in the weekend, and hey, it's just some framing.
$5,000 worth of material, and we're good.
Oh, it's just some framing, right? It's not like you got to put sheetrock up or any finish work or anything. And so the misconception is how cheap it is. It's not. And then how easy it is, right? Right. People think it's very, very easy because, you know, if you know how to level some boards and cut some boards and, you know, you can assemble this thing. I was good at Erector Set when I was a kid.
Until they pick up a 2x10x16 and they have to hold it up to get it in place. And they're like, all right, this is a little bit heavier than I thought it was.
Right. Yeah, it's a good shoulder.
Two by tens. Ooh.
So a lot of people end up looking to have it done and then maybe result to the DIY because they think, well, what the heck, why not? Kind of like my wife and I are doing with the landscaping rock, right? We'll probably hate it afterwards, right? But that can turn into some problems. And so obviously you're hearing about some of that from Ruben Saltzman with Structure Tech. I tell you what, we are up against our halftime break. Time flies when you're having fun. You're going to get a Fox News update and a word from our sponsors. But we'll be back right here on the All Around Home Improvement Hour after this. All right, I talk too much, so we're just going to jump right into things. This is the All Around Home Improvement Hour. It's the second half of the show. And
there he is. He's doing it again.
We're going to talk.
He's talking too much.
We need to do the featured project of the week. Let me pull it up real quick here, Polish Powerhouse. Say some things while I'm doing
some things.
Okay, and what else?
Well, I saw it on Facebook. It looks great.
Well, thank you.
Or at least I saw one of your projects.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Appreciate
that. I'm always looking for them. You guys do a nice job.
Well, when I want to feel better about myself, I'm going to call you.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, right?
Thank you. Okay, it's the Willow Drive roof that was Cedar Shake and now is OC Duration. In a short amount of time, Nick, what do you got for us on that?
Homeowner had really bad ice dam issues, vaulted ceiling, lower slope portion of the roof. We took the lid off of the roof. Insulators came in and did, I believe, 6 inches of spray foam that served as a vapor barrier and then got the R value up quite a bit from the bat that was in there. And the roof had cedar shake, tore the cedar shake off. We improved the venting, the intake and exhaust for the roof to make sure it's breathing properly. And no more ice dam issues.
Yes, and this is no tiny roof either. This is a pretty big roof. We put durations on there. It looks absolutely great. It's on Facebook. You can check it out. And believe it or not, Robin, he knows that stuff by heart. All I have to do is say the address, remind him of what house it is, and he spits that stuff out. There's no preparation there.
It's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, Dennis, one of my team members, has that same thing. Yeah. I couldn't remember.
He remembers every job.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, that one furnace where we did this. And that. Oh, and it's they amazing. Had this dog. And
as long as I say the street name, the house and the street name, if I use the customer's last name, who? You know, yeah. But if I use the street name, you can do exactly that.
Anytime kind of we rip the lid off and do insulation and roofing, it leaves a lasting memory because it's always just a organized chaos of trying to make sure everyone does everything the way you want them to. And those projects, you have to be pretty hands-on.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep, I believe it.
Perfect. During the break, Ruben, you were sharing a testimonial about something Robin had done over at your home.
Yeah, it's time for me to get a new furnace and AC, and I called up Robin. I've got a few people that we know, different people on my team are like, yeah, these people, I work with them, they're great heating contractors. So I had a handful of people come out to give me bids on a furnace and AC. I had a little sticker shock there, just like you're talking about with decks.
Yeah, sure.
People get sticker shock. I had a little sticker shock there, and I had a few people come out. But, I mean, Robin has got an eagle eye. She's walking in. She's like, oh, I see you got the Ecobee thermostat. You know, we could clean this up for you. And she's the only person who talked about kind of cleaning up the HRV controls and this, that, and the other, putting it all together in one. And then she's also the only person who went around and measured all of my windows. When you're replacing a furnace and AC, you got to do some. I think it's a furnace and AC. It's
yes, both of them, it right? is. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll jump in if I get it wrong.
Yes.
You got to do this. You're supposed to do this calculation called the manual J calculation. And I don't know what that means. It means you got to pull a whole bunch of numbers.
The manual J.
We all know the manual J.
Yeah,
it means
exactly.
You got to take a lot of measurements. That. You got to figure out how much energy your house is really going to use.
Sure.
You don't just go by square footage. I mean, you got to have cubic footage. You got to have the number of windows, how many windows face north. It's all this complicated stuff. And nobody ever does that.
I do.
Robin did. I didn't bring this up to her like, hey, I'm testing you or anything. She's like, hey, just want to let you know, I got to go around your whole house and measure all this stuff. And my eyes just lit up.
I'm Robin,
like,
was that just
really?
You know who you were dealing with there?
Yes and no.
Okay. Because I'm impressed. I'll give you a lot of credit. You know, if you get this guy to hire you and mm-hmm. say praise about you afterwards, that's a big deal. I don't know that I'd work for him.
but I mean, he knows his stuff. So it's we have to be careful. But we do that to make sure we size the equipment correctly. We don't guess at High Road. Because of the energy efficiency that we have in our equipment today, we need to make sure it's sized correctly. Too big of a furnace is not going to give you more heat. It's going to turn on, heat your house real fast, shut off, turn on, shut off, turn on, shut off. You're spending tons of dollars in gas and electric doing that.
That was one of the weirdest things I learned about HVAC in general, is about how an oversized furnace, it's just so counterintuitive. Like, what you would think is, well, more. Bigger is better, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe more heat, more air.
Yep.
Heat stuff up. But the problem is what? It doesn't allow time for the contents in your home and the walls and everything else to actually heat up. It
Correct.
Just satisfies the thermostat on the wall.
It's like an artificial heat up.
And then so what ends up becoming the problem?
You use too much electricity. You use too much gas. It wears out sooner. And you're colder in the winter. In the summer, same thing. It doesn't run long enough to suck the humidity out of the air. So if you're not removing the humidity, you feel cold and clammy. So yeah, you're miserable. We don't want that. Same thing with an air conditioner. Smaller is better than bigger.
Mm. Do you typically find that other HVAC contractors are, in general, well, first of all, they're probably not, it sounds like they're not doing that. Are they bidding units that are maybe too small or too big typically for houses then?
They're usually bidding the same size you have in the house.
Okay, just whatever you
that
got.
That doesn't mean it's right.
A lot of roofing contractors do that. Oh, you got vents, we'll put the vents back.
Right.
No, 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 there's problems with the vents. Mm-hmm. We need to look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So we have a lot of times somebody's like, well, you're only bidding a 4-ton, everybody's bidding a 5-ton. I have a 5-ton in my house right now. Yes, but you only need 4 tons to cool it effectively, and I give a guarantee. If I didn't get it right, I replace it for free for you.
Where's my extra ton?
I never knew that.
You're shorting me 1 ton.
Yeah.
Can I save the ton in my storage unit?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's human nature.
Bigger is not always better, right?
No. So in heating and cooling, it is not. In heating and cooling, it is not.
Would it be better to be undersized?
Depends on the house. You know, there's a balance. Sometimes when I do the heat loss calculation, I'm really close to the next size, but I should go to the smaller size. So it's a judgment. So then we look at which way does the house face, you know, which is there a vault there? So we do make those determinations. But again, I give you a comfort guarantee. So there's no way for you to lose.
Why did Ruben need a new furnace? I'd like to know
He's got cracks in his heat exchanger.
Personal problems.
It's older. Has. It's got cracks in his heat exchanger.
Yeah, that makes me feel better about myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he does maintain it. It's in good shape. He does maintain it. It's just that it happened. Yeah.
So, but how do you find out about that? How do you find out you have a cracked heat exchanger?
Usually with maintenance.
With maintenance?
Yes. So that's what we look for when we do maintenance.
That's what you went over to maintenance, and then you guys are like, oh, wow, what's going on?
Because we look, part of maintenance is making sure there are no cracks, because that's what puts the carbon monoxide in the house. Okay. So we got to make sure that's all safe for you.
It wasn't Ruben doing his own monthly furnace inspection.
He's really good at inspecting. Yeah.
I figured you were doing that, to be honest.
He changes his filter regularly. He's a good homeowner.
That's about as far as I go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I
do the basic stuff.
I feel pretty proud when I change the filter, you know, in my furnace.
Yes, that,
by the way,
that.
High Road also installed. It's been working great.
Thank you.
The only one time it didn't work great, it was because I didn't replace the furnace filter, and it was sucked into like around the fan area, which isn't good. But I'm pretty good about doing it now. I just buy the big box, you know, of 12 or 10 or whatever they come in, the whole case of them. And I try to buy, I think you told me, somewhere between $6 and $10 per filter, somewhere in that range. Yeah, pleated. Not the ones that are so thin you can see through them.
Right. Or the ones that are so thick you can't.
Correct.
There's a middle ground in Charles, I should be giving you those filters. You don't need to buy
bulk. I bought like a 2-year supply from them, and it's like that I'm good for 2 years, and I set a calendar reminder, and I know when I need to do it, and I don't have to.
I actually write the month on each one of my filters. I have a 1-inch filter, so I put, you know, I was looking, it was April 3rd. I'm like, what's my April 3rd filter doing outside the furnace? So I knew I hadn't changed it yet. So that helps me remember.
Oh, you write them all on the box
of the filter, the frame of the filter. Oh. I go and I put January, February, March, April,
that's
May.
I always write mine on the filter as I put it in.
No, I put it in the box while it's sitting in the box. So then I don't forget.
I'm writing this down too. I'm getting all kinds of value.
That won't help me.
This is awesome.
I just do it whenever I go into the basement because I know that I need to just do it. Otherwise, that might not happen. So is that the biggest killer for furnaces?
Yes, and more so for air conditioner. People forget that we use the furnace blower to move the cool air in your house. And if you do not change the filter, you do not have as much forgiveness with an air conditioner as you do with a furnace. So make sure you're on top of changing your furnace filter when we're starting to turn our air conditioners on. It's May, and so you got to stay on top of it, because if the air isn't flowing through the furnace, it's choking the air conditioner. It'll freeze the air conditioner, cause it to stop working, and then we have a service call. So really, I'd prefer you don't change the filter, because we'll come out and help you. But really, you should be changing the filter with an air conditioner. People forget that.
How unfortunate that you didn't change your filter. Right.
Yes.
Human nature is good for business.
It's a hard call, though, when we go out there and it's built up in ice and the furnace filter is sucked into the unit. No. We can't work on it when it's built up in ice. We have to wait till it melts.
Hmm. Why don't you just fire up the furnace?
Yeah, doesn't work that way.
I'll tell you, I did end up doing that during an inspection. I didn't realize it was iced up, mm-hmm. but we had the furnace running for about 5 minutes, come downstairs, and there's water just everywhere. Pouring out of the furnace. And I had to sit there and go, what? Did I leave a faucet running? Like, it was a panic moment. Why is there water all over? And, oh, no, it's melting this huge block of ice that I can't see.
Right, and there's only a small hole in the bottom of that pan to drain the water.
That's right.
So it's not supposed to drain like that.
No, it is not.
That's why a lot of people have them near floor drains.
Yes.
Right, in their basement.
Yeah. Well, nowadays with the air conditioner condensates, so there's always water with it, but now the high-efficient furnaces slough off water from condensation. So
sweet.
We need to have it by a drain or get the hose over to a drain.
Robin, the good people of the Twin Cities want to know how they can reach out and get in touch with High Road and have you come out and service their furnace or air conditioner or give them some great replacement units.
You can find us on the web at highroadheating.com, and it's HIGHROAD heating.com, or 763-477-3331.
One more time with that number.
763-477-3331.
All right, perfect. We got one more segment. We'll be right back right after this. All right, it's a Nick Zeman bumper weekend.
Oh, yeah. Boys here. Are back in the town again.
This is just his stuff here. There you go, Bree.
Love it.
You and Bree are on the same music genre.
Good taste of music. Great minds think alike, they say.
All right, welcome back to the All Around Home Improvement Hour. And we're talking all things home improvement related, of course. Again, if you haven't caught the show before, please check us out, allaround.com, or go to Facebook and search for All Around. We would love for you to get some sort of golden nugget out of this show and take it with you and apply it to your home improvement needs. And we'd love even more to work with you on an exterior project, maybe a roof, siding, windows, decks, and doors. We do it all if it's on the outside of your home. Now, before the break, we're talking about bad furnaces and mistakes that people make when installing furnaces or maintaining them and stuff like that. And Robin was so helpful with that. But now we're going to turn over to Ruben Saltzman with Structure Tech Home Inspections, who sees every kind of mistake that people and professionals make when improving homes. And also, he sees the after effects of people that buy homes that don't get a home inspection. Mm. And that seems to be a pandemic right now.
That is a pandemic right now.
Around the world. Actually, my epidemic.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So why is it happening?
Scary.
Well, the housing market is just nuts right now. Where, mm-hmm. I mean, you get multiple offers on homes and people are doing anything they can to get their offer accepted.
Sure.
There's such a shortage of housing. They're offering tens of thousands of dollars. I've heard of over $100,000 over the listing price, and they're pulling out all the stops so they can get their offer accepted. And of course, one of those stops they're pulling out is the home inspection.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. I mean, I get that it's tough to get houses, but man, people are taking on a lot of risk when they do this.
Yeah, you should get a home inspection on a brand new home, I feel like. It doesn't matter what home, you should get it.
Yeah.
So people are skipping it. They end up buying the home, then what?
And they end up having a lot of problems that they didn't know about. We just recently were at a house where these people had water pouring out of their ceiling. They couldn't figure out why. They tested everything in their bathtub. It all looked good. And we ended up going out there to figure out what the problem was. We pulled this access panel apart. And only when you flip the diverter over to the shower, it's got a bathtub shower combo.
Yep.
You pull up on that stopper and they hadn't soldered the joint properly.
Oh,
and
no.
There was water just shooting across the room.
Oh my gosh.
It was such a bad leak. And it's like nobody had ever tested it. It was a house where they had revamped it and the people were like, yeah, this is all gorgeous. We don't need a home inspection. But
so I got a good idea. Why don't you go make the biggest investment you're ever going to make and just walk around the outside, you know, maybe kick the siding a little bit like you would some tires. Don't look under the hood at all.
She looks pretty good.
You know, and just find out later what's really going on with the home and realize that you've just paid top dollar. Again, the reason why the market is so crazy is people are paying top dollar. The demand is as high as it's ever been. For this investment of yours, only to find out that you really bought something that is worth maybe two-thirds of what you paid for it because of all the improvements that it needs. What a great idea.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, you about summed it up right there.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, good idea.
And Robin, you and I were just talking the other day when you were at my house. You were telling me how you did a follow-up at a house where they didn't get a home inspection and their HVAC equipment was toast.
Right.
What was the story there?
Well, they had cracked in their heat exchanger and the air conditioner didn't work and uses R22 refrigerant. So to repair it was going to be too costly. It was better to replace. So they ended up having to spend $12,000.
Ouch.
Yikes.
On a new furnace and air conditioner. It went with some upgrades, but still $12,000 after a new house that they paid $40,000 over list.
The way I understand it, too, is if the seller says and claims they never knew anything about that, then there's nothing you can do. There's no repercussion. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, so take it for what that's worth, but I don't think there's anything you can do. And even if there was something you can do, now you're in a legal lawsuit, you're in a battle, you're paying, you're going to court, you're going to arbitration, you're getting realtors involved, lawyers involved, I don't know which one's worse. And it's just, why? Why not spend $450, $500, whatever the cost is, to have a professional, somebody that knows how to give you a report, basically like giving you the Carfax. And I hesitate to say that a little bit because I think it's a lot more comprehensive. But when you go to buy a $20,000 used vehicle, you don't hesitate for a second to look at the Carfax report or one of those brands that gives you. Why wouldn't you do that
and
with
have your mechanic give it a once over or something like that?
Yeah, I want to take this to my mechanic. I want them to see what
you don't just kick the tire and say this sounds good.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, looks good.
Even if you're not gonna hold the seller responsible, I still would have the inspection so I know I've got $20,000 in this I have to pay, I need a new roof. You know, am I really gonna do this? I'd wanna know that for peace of mind.
Exactly.
Even though I'm buying it without an inspection, I'm gonna take on the risk. And still hire Ruben to tell me what's going on.
It puts the buyers in a tough spot because right now it seems like that market is that's what the market is, right?
You don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm. So while we have some time left, Ruben, what's an alternative? What are people doing?
Well, something that we're offering, because we know that there's people who are going to just skip the home inspection in order to get it. We're offering called it's a walkthrough consultation. It's basically where we will come along on very short notice and we will accompany the potential buyers on the showing. And we'll go through and we'll point out everything we possibly can in a half hour. You're getting a trained eye. We're not going to be doing things like taking the furnace apart and taking the electrical panel cover off. But there's still a ton of stuff that we can see with a trained eye to let people know about. And it's a stopgap.
So what are you doing to get the word out there on that? Because realtors, they need to be hearing this. They need to know you can still have your client get a quick offer in and on that showing have a professional home inspector walk through with them to give them any possible last minute major red flags.
We're doing everything we can. I mean, I'm talking about it here on the radio.
Yeah, which is big. That's the biggest.
That's the biggest, obviously. Everything pales into comparison to you guys' show. But we're sending out email blasts to all the agents that we work with. I do a blog. I've blogged about this several times. We have it offered on our website. And then I've made a bunch of YouTube videos talking about it, too. Mm-hmm. So we're doing everything we can to let people know there is an alternative to nothing.
Yep.
Great idea.
So realtors need to hear this. You can have an alternative to a home inspection. Structure Tech offers it. And also, speaking of those realtors, you had brought up some seminars or some education classes coming up.
Yeah, we've got on-demand CE offered now. This is something that has been a long time coming, but you can go to our website, structuretechce.com. It's a special site just for our education, and we have six different classes ranging from 1 to 4 hours in length, and agents can get their CE this way. And I guarantee this is some of the best, most entertaining, most informative CE available for real estate agents period.
Out there. I've been to your seminars before, and you do have a way of keeping it light, fun, entertainment, funny at times. And so I really do appreciate what you're doing. Again, we're running low on time. I want to make sure that you get your contact info out there.
Sure. Head on over to structuretech.com, and you can find everything, the blog, the videos, all that stuff. Structuretech.com.
Structuretech.com. Thank you very, very much, Ruben. Be sure to get out there and check that out. And don't buy a home without a home inspection, for crying out loud. It's been a fun show. Thank you, Robin.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
Thank you, Polish Powerhouse.
You're welcome.
Yes, I am welcome. Have a great weekend, everybody. Happy Mother's Day.